First John chapter 2, verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We look at these three passages of Scripture from God's Word. They all have to do with instructing us, warning us about error. We are living in the last days, of the last days. We are living in the most perilous of the perilous times. We are living in the days when the enemies of the Messiah, the Antichrist spirit, more prevalent than ever before. Wickedness is abounding. But just as wickedness abounds, folks, error abounds also. And one of the signs of the times, one of the signs of Christ's coming, the Scripture lays before us, is the multiplying of error. It is strange as we see the escalation of wickedness, even in parallel with that is the escalation of religion and religions, false teaching and error. We do not just battle and live in the midst of wickedness, but we must battle error and false teaching, because we're living in the midst of that also. Our Baptist churches are surrounded by error, doctrinal wickedness. We live as God's people surrounded by error and doctrinal wickedness. We work amongst, we live amongst, sometimes we live in our own families amongst error. Increasing error. And I believe one of the greatest things Satan is using against us as individuals and against the Lord's churches is error. He is the master salesman. As we heard today in Brother Keller's message, he is a master deceiver. And God's people are susceptible to deception. It is only the grace of God, it is only the Spirit of God, it is only the Word of God that will preserve us from being deceived. Amen. We must understand as preachers and pastors the importance of our ministries, the importance of preaching and teaching truth and lifting up truth from the pulpits. We must understand that our people, God's people, are more prone to be deceived and more exposed to error than ever before. These passages warn us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly teaches that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We cannot stand up in front of our churches and look out at the people we pastor and say about any one of our members, they will never leave the truth, because they may. And one of Satan's chief purposes is the subtle use of error to lead God's people. Anyone who has pastored any time at all can relate instances of men and women who they may have said at one time, now that one will never leave the truth. That one will never leave the church. That one is a pillar in the church. They'll always be there. And we've seen them fall, haven't we? We have even seen pastors and preachers who we would say would never fall, who fell. We want to preach a very simple message dealing with avoiding error. Very simple message on some of the steps for avoiding error. And everyone in this building this evening must take this serious and must see it as their call and my call and your call, our individual call to avoid error, to resist error. We're called to contend for the faith and to earnestly, with all that we have, contend for the faith. We must avoid error at all costs. Simple things the Lord's laid upon our heart. First of all, when it comes to avoiding error, get truth from the Lord's church. That's where we're supposed to get the truth. Unto him be glory in the church. Ephesians 3 tells us that. We have heard this very day, 1 Timothy 3:15, where we read that the Lord's church is the pillar and ground of truth. Don't go anywhere else for the truth. Amen. We're living in the information age. We're living in the age where most church members are plugged in. They're connected. They're wired. And they're plugged in and they're connected and they're wired to a sea of error and false teaching. Amen. Member of Baptist churches here this evening, The church is where God has placed you. He's placed you there by His design. He has placed you there so He can feed you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge in that environment. It is a privilege. It is the greatest of all honors to be a member of a New Testament Baptist church. And it's by God's design, and that's where we get truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. We're wired and we're plugged in and we're connected. And we're seeing things and we're hearing things and we're being exposed to things that are error. And Baptist preachers are being challenged. And Baptist churches are being challenged. You know, I came across this while I was on the web. I came across this religious site. I came across this preacher. I came across this site. And they said, such and such. Well, those sites and those sources, they're not the pillar and ground of the truth. The Lord's church is. Amen. When it comes to truth, go to the right source. Get it from the church, where the Lord Jesus Christ has placed you and where the Lord Jesus Christ has privileged you to be a member. Let us not be guilty of having the attitude of the world, looking at our little Baptist churches and thinking how unimportant and how insignificant. Jesus Christ died for His kind of church. So let us dare not have that attitude of it being little or insignificant. It is the pillar and ground of truth according to Scripture. That makes it significant. That makes it the most important institution on the whole face of this earth. Amen. So don't go anywhere else. Oh, my church is a little church. My pastor hasn't had any education. He doesn't know nothing. He doesn't have to know nothing. Someone was talking about being grammatically correct. We don't have to be grammatically correct. Because God speaks through us.
Amen.
And God dispenses the truth from the pulpits of His churches. And we ought to love our churches. Thank God for placing us in New Testament Baptist churches where we can be exposed to truth, receive truth, and grow in grace and in knowledge. And it's going to be through the Lord's church where you're going to grow and you're going to learn and you're going to comprehend things that nobody else you know is going to have a clue about. Think all the glorious things God has taught you through His church. That your fellow worker thinks you're crazy to believe. Think about all the things God has shown you through His church that your own relatives think you've gone off the deep end over and don't see why you believe those things. Not only should we stick or get our truth from the Lord's church, but as we've already brushed on, second of all, stick with God's man. If you want to avoid error, God tells us in His Word He would give us pastors after His own heart who would feed us, who would teach and preach God's Word to us. Don't look for someone else. Don't go to the television. Don't go to the web to find somebody more impressive or more educated, somebody with more eloquence. Stick with the man God's placed over you. Be there service in and service out, week in and week out, year in and year out, and listen to the Word of God. Receive the Word of God, and God will bless you through that man's ministry. Ephesians 4, Of course, the context of this entire book, I believe, is the local assembly. It's written to the assembly of the Ephesians. And I believe he says here in the context of the church of Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gives his churches these. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God places us in His church and His churches. And He places pastors over us to preach the truth to us. And it is in that environment, with that oversight, that we're best equipped to avoid error. If it's a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a man of God, a true man of God overseeing it, God's not going to lead you into error, let you go into error. He's going to keep you from error by His design. Look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. Paul loved the Thessalonians. I believe they were dear to him. His letter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is a very positive letter. He had much to be thankful for. He didn't want them to be troubled. He didn't want them to be misinformed about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He cared for these people. He thanked God for these people. He says here in chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Paul thanked God, first of all, that the Thessalonians listened to his preaching. You want to do a favor to your pastor? You want to improve your pastor's preaching? You want to have an effect on his being more effective in his preaching? Listen to him.
Amen.
You can't do anything more that's going to benefit your pastor than listening to him. Maybe only pastors could understand this. But you get up with the message the Lord has given you, and you look out at the congregation, and you look out at those that you're charged to preach to, and you understand why the Bible says don't be afraid of their faces. Because what a pastor has to see as he's standing up trying to deliver the Word of God would just blow some of your minds. You just couldn't believe what a pastor has to see. Is it hard to speak in any environment if while you're speaking you sense nobody's listening? Teachers will tell you. Anybody who has to speak publicly will tell you, if it looks like nobody's paying attention, it's very difficult. And you get up and try to preach the Word of God, and you look out at people and you know they're not listening. Our culture is so overwhelmed with multitasking. That has spilled over into our churches, and we come into the house of the Lord so busy and so consumed and so overwhelmed and with so many things going on, we sit there and we fail to do the most important thing while we're in church. We don't listen.
You're right.
Our mind is somewhere else. Our mind is what we're going to be doing this afternoon. Our mind is what went wrong this morning, what made it so hard for us to get to church. Our mind is what went wrong yesterday. Our mind is upon what we have to do this week on the job. Our mind's upon the fussing and the fighting that was in our family before we got to church. We have lost the ability to listen in the American society. And you're not going to get anything out of church. You're not going to get anything out of conferences. You're not going to get anything out of the service of the Lord if you don't first of all invest some listening time. I thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, that first received here is a word that means as receiving it from one person to another. He praised God that they listened. They didn't fall asleep. He praised God that they listened. They paid attention. He praised God that they listened. They didn't take for granted what he had to say. He praised God that they paid attention. We got to pay attention, folks, when the man of God is speaking. He praised God that they listened, they heard, they received the word which he spoke. Then he goes on to say he praised God because they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Well, preacher, I don't agree with you. Preacher, I didn't like that message. Preacher, that was a fine message, but so on and so forth. Where did God's people get the idea that a preacher is offering up a buffet? A smorgasbord where you just go through and pick what you like and pass over what you don't like. Folks, it doesn't work that way. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. God gives us men to stand up, and God speaks to his people through his men. And we would all do well to listen when the man of God is preaching, and we would all do well to understand that that is God speaking to me through him. Don't worry about the bad use of words. Don't worry about how ineloquent or how much he lacks polish. Listen, God is speaking. Honor what is being said as though it's coming from God. Folks, there have been men who never got past the third or fourth grade who God called to preach, and God spoke through, and God turned the world upside down with such men.
Amen.
I've heard of preachers who couldn't read, who had to have their wife read the scriptures to them, and yet could preach with great power. Because it is God who is choosing the instrument, and it is God who is speaking through that man. And if you will get your truth from the Lord's church, and you'll stick with the man who preaches the truth that God has put before you, you'll avoid error. You'll avoid error. Third, if you want to avoid error, keep God's money in God's house. Prove me now herewith, the Lord said in the book of Malachi. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. I believe the Lord's church is the storehouse in this age. God's money belongs in God's house. Don't send your money to this reverend and this one and that one. Don't listen to these sales pitch guys on the television. Your money don't belong in those places. Your money don't belong being sent to some mega church in California or in Chicago or somewhere else. If it's God's money, it belongs in God's house. And his church is his house. We know. Folks, I believe if there's a ministry out there who is preaching or teaching any percentage of error, and you send money to them, you are a partaker in their evil deeds. And that's not the way to avoid error. These slick willies, I mean, they're impressive. From the flesh, they're much more impressive than the average Baptist preacher. I mean, they've got it down. They're sharp. They're deceivers. Get truth from the Lord's church. Stick with the man God has placed over you. Keep God's money in God's house.
Amen.
Church is the pillar and ground of truth. Lord's church is also the preserver and the dispenser of truth. I don't believe God blesses or God is pleased with His word being sent out through any other instrument. I believe it's the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has the authority, works under the authority of the Lord to take the word to the world. Nobody else has that commission. Yeah, but they're reaching millions. They don't have the commission. They're filling stadiums. They don't have the commission. Let us not despise the little things. God works through little things. And He is accomplishing everything He has planned and purposed to accomplish today, and He's doing it through His church. And He's not failing. He's not struggling. He's not anxious or stressed, wondering what plan B is going to be. He's sovereign, omnipotent. He's accomplishing every second, everything He's planned and purposed to accomplish, doing it through His kind of church. Fourth of all, trust your Bible. Trust the Word of God. I believe without apology that God has preserved His Word for us to this very hour, and His preserved Word is the King James Version of the Bible.
Amen.
We don't need any other.
Right.
You can trust this book. Yeah, but so-and-so told me there's errors in it. They lied to you.
Right.
Look again. There's no errors in God's Word. If you can discredit one verse of Scripture, if you can call one passage into error, then you've called the whole book into error and question. We don't want to go there. We need to trust the Bible. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture, every word is given by the inspiration. It's God-breathed. We need nothing else. We certainly don't need new revelations and new dreams and men telling us things that they can't support with a verse of Scripture. Trust the Bible. 1 John 4, verse 1 tells us to try the spirits. Test the spirits. Don't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. You want to avoid error, then try the spirits. Try teachings and take what someone tells you and don't just swallow it. Try it by the Word of God. Try it by the preaching of God's Word that you hear in the house of the Lord. Try it by what you know your church believes and stands for. Go to your pastor and ask him. Go to the Word of God and search it out for yourself, even better. Trust the Bible. It'll not lead you into error. Try the spirits by your Bible, by the Word of God. Don't be impressed. Next of all, don't be impressed by the signs and the wonders and the apparent effectiveness of other ways and other religions and denominations and preachers. The Bible tells us very plainly that Satan does his work with signs and wonders. He's very impressive. Jesus says no signs will be given. We have the Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We would do well to take heed to it. Reject anything that is new and supposedly by a special revelation. Folks, there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
How in the world can the Word of God tell us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered if there's going to be something new coming along? We're not told to contend for that thing that's going to happen tomorrow or that new doctrine that's going to be found a week from now. We're told to contend for the faith once delivered. Now we go deeper, and there are many mysteries and things we will never understand from the Word of God, folks. But what God has given us is truth. What we're to contend for is the faith once delivered. And when they start talking about new things or new revelations, you better flee. You better flee. I believe revelations and the gifts of such things ended. And we're not in those days anymore. When the Word of God came, folks, those things were no longer needed. And there, on the airwaves, God has given me a new revelation. God has shown me something He's never shown before. God has revealed something to me, brand new truth. There is no more truth. There's no brand new truth. We have the Word of God. We must be on guard against error and understand that error always comes mixed or wrapped in a little bit of truth. Satan is a master salesman. And that's where a lot of God's people get hooked. There's a seed of truth with a great big root of error. Words like grace or salvation or Jesus, love. Words that say to us, oh, it must be truth then. I know that word. Don't be deceived by error that simply contains or is wrapped up in truth. Beware of error that distorts in any way who the person of Jesus Christ is. You know, most of the religions, false denominations and errors and heresies that are out there are kicking Jesus around. They're not making him the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus of the Bible, folks, is the God of the Bible. Jesus is God. Watch out for those that distort or do harm to who Jesus Christ is. Be careful of those who distort in any way salvation, who speak of grace and at the same time attach the benefits of works to it. You can't attach works in any way to grace and have it still be grace. There isn't anything but sovereign grace. We're living in a day of great error. Our churches are exposed to it. Our church members are exposed to it. God's men are exposed to it. Satan is seeking to lead us away through his subtlety. And I believe, according to Scripture, God gives us everything we need to live for Him. He has not called us to do anything He has not equipped us to be able to do. We can avoid error. We can resist error. We can walk in truth. We can know truth. We can teach and preach truth. We can preserve ourselves from being ensnared, because God has provided for us everything we need to avoid error. He's given us His church, the pillar and ground of truth. Get your truth from your church where the Lord placed you. He sets men over His people to shepherd and to feed and to lead them. Love God's man. Pray for God's man. Listen to God's man. Give what He says the respect of the Word of God, because that's what He's speaking. He speaks the Word of God. Keep God's money in His church. Don't support in any way error. Do you want that blood on your hands? You support error. How many thousands might be drugged down to hell through their damnable heresies? Do you want that on your hands? Oh, your hands can be clean by bringing your tithes and your offerings into God's house, where God told us to bring it. Don't support error. Trust your Bible. This is such a blessed thing. Brother Guiley got up and preached, and he preached the Bible. The whole Bible was his text. That's an amazing thing, brother. But you can never go wrong when this is your source. The Word of God. We live in a time when you can find stacks of this blessed book collecting dust in bargain bins for 49 cents apiece. The world just doesn't understand the blessedness of this book. God help us to always understand its blessedness. We have truth. Trust your Bible. Understand that God has for hundreds of years preserved it that we might have it today. If you want to avoid error, trust this book. Try the Spirit. Try the false teachings. Try any teaching. Make sure it's truth before you receive it. Don't be impressed by the signs and the wonders and the effects and the tote boards and the stadiums full of people. Fight the fight. God help all of us to fight the fight against error. And we can overcome error, but only with truth. God help us. Thank you.